the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning and happy Resurrection Sunday. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can gather in your house today of all days. Today, the day that we remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the day that we remember that the tomb is empty still today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your presence here. We ask for your blessing on this service as we raise our voices and sing praises to your name and as we gather around your table. And Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing as we hear the word proclaimed from this pulpit. We ask it to lift us up and change our hearts. And we ask for your blessing as we leave. And we celebrate this day with our family and friends. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 28, 5 through 7 reads, But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before them into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." The first Easter morning, the angel of the Lord was the first to share the news that Jesus had risen. The news spread fast, for Jesus had overcome the tomb. Jesus had defeated death. The word of his resurrection did not stop when it reached his apostles, nor did it stop when it reached the rest of his disciples, nor did it stop even when it reached the high priest, although there was some effort to stop it there. The good news kept going as it does today. And if no one has told you yet today, Jesus is risen from the grave. But why was the Son in the grave? Why was he laid low? Well, we're the reason why. Our sins created a debt that no one here will ever have the ability to repay. But Jesus loves each one of us so much that he picked up the tab. Jesus faced the punishment that was ours. He faced the trials. He faced the scourging, the cross, the separation from the Father, not for what he had done, but to settle the debt of sin that was ours, not his. We worship a powerful Savior, one that would not be held to a cross, one that would not be held in the grave, but one that is risen, seated at the right hand of the Father. We can celebrate this Sunday because Jesus was more powerful than that Friday. However, we cannot forget Friday. Even on this Resurrection Sunday, we need to remember that the sacrifice of Jesus was made for us. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this time each week set aside, that we can remember the sacrifice of Jesus, that we can remember that he laid down his life willingly. He showed his human side. He faced death. He faced separation from the Father, not for his sins, but for ours. And we ask that you be with each person here. As the joy of the resurrection is in our heart, give us a moment to remember the sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Just a few announcements. If you look in the bulletin, you'll see the list of those who donated flowers to help decorate the front of the building. We certainly appreciate that. They look great. We'd like you to leave your flowers here, at least for second service, so you can pick them up sometime this afternoon. If you're not going to pick them up, let us know so we can make sure we get them to somebody who would like to have them. We do have one. Karen Baker and Judith Trella, we missed a couple names, inadvertently missed a couple names to that list. These were given also in memory of Ed Bishop and James Bishop. So we want to make sure we mention that. Please do look at the announcements in the bulletin, what's coming up. the Rotary Club had an event yesterday, and they had a lot of candy left over, so they gave it to us to give out to the kids this morning. So when your kids are leaving today, make sure you stop and pick up some of that candy on your way out. I'm sure you'll need that. You probably don't have enough already. Please look over the prayer list if you would. Karen Baker is home. She was here this morning, but she had a bleeding problem while she was in the hospital. She had cancer back in the 1980s, had radiation, and the radiation is causing the problem all the way back from then. So please keep her in your prayers. There's not really much they can do with it. Just treat it when it happens. Catherine Petoniak fell this last week and broke her hip. She had surgery and is now in Caprice. But in Caprice, she's not allowed to have visitors. Her family can see her twice a week, and that's it. So she has her phone with her. If you get a chance, give her a call and talk to her, because it's kind of lonely up there. Carol Bollinger also had been in Covington for a while getting treatment. She is now home. So if you want to call Carol, you can call her at home too. Let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Amen. Every Sunday that we gather, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, today we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday because this is the time of the year that Jesus actually was crucified and buried and rose from the dead. So today we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday. J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, explaining Easter to his grandson, called it a eucatastrophe. Did you ever hear that word before? A eucatastrophe. Actually, he called it the greatest eucatastrophe ever. The EU prefix there in Greek means good. So we have other words like eulogy, good word, or euphony, good sound. He called it a eucatastrophe because it was a catastrophic event, but a good catastrophic event. He explained to his grandson, a eucatastrophe is a sudden happy turn in a story which pierces you with joy and brings tears to your eyes. Death is catastrophic. We fear it. But the resurrection of Jesus changes that. Because of the resurrection, we feel a sudden relief. He put it this way, as if a major limb was out of joint and had suddenly snapped back. So eucatastrophe, that's a pretty neat word. See if you can use that this week. When somebody asks you what you did on Easter Sunday, try to get that word in there. And maybe it'll open a door to talk to somebody about Jesus. Eucatastrophe. This morning I want to ask and answer two questions. The first question is, what does the resurrection mean? And secondly, why does the resurrection matter? First of all, what does the resurrection mean? It means Jesus is who he claimed to be. Now, Jesus, you think about it, when he was on earth, he made some pretty outrageous claims. He claimed he was God. He claimed he was the Savior of the world. He claimed that he and the Father were one. He claimed to be the only way to God. Now, some people say Jesus is not the Son of God, that he is just a good teacher. Well, if he's not the Son of God, then he's not a good teacher, because he's making false claims. If he is the Son of God, then he's a great teacher. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. So he made some, you see, these outrageous claims. But along with that, he basically said, now I'm going to do something, and what I do is going to back up what I say. What I do is going to show that I am who I claim to be. One day, Jesus was in the temple, and the money changers were there. And he was upset about what they were doing. They had made the temple into a mini mall. But more than that, they were just cheating the people. In the exchange rate with the money, during the Passover, for instance, somebody would bring in a lamb, and the lamb had to be without blemish. And the Jewish leaders would say, oh, this lamb's not good enough. You know, I mean, here, you trade that lamb in. We'll take your lamb, and we'll sell you this lamb at another price. And they stole the people's money by doing things like that. And of course, Jesus drove the merchants out. And this upset all the Jewish leaders. And the Jewish leaders said, hey, by what authority? Show us a miraculous sign to show us by what authority you're doing this. And Jesus said, as recorded in John 2:19, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, he was simply saying, through my resurrection, I will prove who I am. Through my resurrection, I will prove I am the Son of God. My resurrection will show by what authority I do this. My resurrection will show that this is my Father's house. And the Jews understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. Because you remember, when Jesus was buried, the Jewish leaders went to Pilate and they said, hey, we need to put some guards around that tomb because Jesus said he was going to raise again in 3 days. So, what does Easter mean? It means Jesus is who he claimed to be. It also means that Jesus had the power he claimed to have. No force could keep him in that tomb. The Romans killed him. They put him in the tomb, rolled the stone in front of the tomb. They had the tomb sealed with the Roman seal, which means if you broke that seal, you had to worry about Rome coming down upon you. And then they put this guard in front of the tomb. Now, a lot of times we don't think much about that guard, but we ought to, because this wasn't a bunch of rent-a-cops. This Roman guard, sometimes there would be 4 Roman guards, sometimes there would be up to 16. And what they tell us is if you had the 16 Roman guards there, they could form a square, 4 by 4 by 4 by 4, and they could protect a 36-yard square yard area, they claim, from a battalion of men, just 16. So these were not rent-a-cops. They were trained soldiers. They were the best of the best. But they could not stop Jesus from raising from the dead. They were trying to prevent the inevitable. John 10:18 says, Jesus says, nobody can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. He had all the power in the world. He said, they can't stop me. I can give my life, and I can take it up again. So Easter means Jesus is who he claims to be, and Jesus had the power he claimed to have. And Easter means Jesus does what he promises to do. Making promises is simple. Keeping the promises isn't always that easy. General Douglas MacArthur in World War II and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2 both basically said the same thing, I'll be back. But before they said that, Jesus said it. Matthew 27:63, after 3 days I will rise again. The cross was no surprise to Jesus. It was all part of the plan. You know, I like the BC comics. Maybe you read those, you know, the cavemen and things. And this one BC comic had a tomb at the top of a hill. At the bottom of the hill was Peter's cave, one of the characters in the comic. And the tomb had the stone rolled in front of it, and the first frame. The second frame, there's this light coming out of the tomb. The third frame, the stone rolls away from the tomb, rolls into Peter's cave and wakes him up. And Peter comes out, he looks, he walks up to the tomb on top of the hill, and he sees these footprints walking away from the tomb. And he follows the footprints, and they go to the edge of a water. And the footprints walk on top of the water. And on the other side, there's this snake. And the snake's kind of shaken up, and he says, that was rude, somebody just stepped on my head. Now, that's a picture of the very first prophecy we have of Jesus Christ destroying the serpent, destroying the devil, destroying sin, destroying death. All the way back in Genesis 3:16, Matthew 28:5-6, the angel said to the women at the tomb, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Did you catch that? Just as he said. He did what he promised. When God makes a promise, you can count on it. So what the resurrection means is simple. Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus had the power he claimed to have. And Jesus did what he promised to do. But I want us to look at the other question now, and that is, why does the resurrection matter? I mean, it happened in A.D. 33. That's 1988 years ago. Why does the resurrection matter to us today? Well, it matters because it means my past can be forgiven. And that's good news. Have you ever been through a project, and halfway through that project, you wish you hadn't started the project, or that you had gone another direction? Maybe you're painting a room in the house, and you took forever picking the color. You finally picked the color, and now it's half done, and you're looking at it, and you don't like the color, and you'd like to start all over again. You get halfway through, want to start all over again. And that's how it is with life sometimes. We wish we hadn't said some of the things we said, or thought some of the things we thought, or did some of the things we did. We have regrets. We feel bad about those things. We have guilt. I was watching a Columbo the other day, of course, a rerun, and Johnny Cash was in it. He was the bad guy. And you know how Columbo goes. At the end, he basically usually has the man or the woman who's confess at the end. And Johnny Cash finally, Columbo caught him, and he makes his confession. And he says, "I'm glad I don't have to pretend anymore." He says, "The guilt was killing me." And that's true for a lot of people. The guilt is killing them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 reminds us, "He has forgiven us all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross." Now, Paul's talking to Christians here in Colossae, and what he's saying is Christ has nailed our sins to the cross. He has forgiven our sins. He has taken away our guilt. That means I don't have to pay for it. He was hung up for my hang-ups. Jesus was nailed on the cross so I can quit feeling guilty. He was nailed on the cross to forgive my past sins. So he says he wants to cancel every record of all the sins we've ever committed. Once you pay a bill, how long do you think about that bill? And once I pay the bill, it's out of the way, it's gone, it's canceled, it's done. And that's what he wants us to think about when it comes to our sins. We don't have to feel guilty. He's forgiven, he's canceled our sins. That's good news. Because Jesus is who he is, my past can be forgiven. I don't have to carry that load of guilt around with me. It's unnecessary. Romans 8:1 reminds us, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Any of you not have an Etch-a-Sketch when you were growing up? Everybody had an Etch-a-Sketch. You turn the knobs on the screen on one side, you could draw a picture. And if you made a mistake, what did you do? Turned it upside down, you shook it, and the screen was completely clean. And that's what this Romans 8:1 is, kind of the Etch-a-Sketch passage in the Bible. It reminds us that our slate is wiped clean. He did not come to rub our sins in. He came to rub our sins out. He wants to change us, to help us, to give us a new beginning and a new clear conscience. And that's good news. That's news I can use. So the resurrection matters because my past sins can be forgiven. The resurrection matters because my present problems can be managed. You know, much of life is unmanageable. And if you're a parent, you know that it's kind of that way. Charlie Shedd is an author and a preacher, and he talks about when he was young, before he was married. He used to go around and he had a lecture that he preached or taught called "The Ten Commandments for Raising Perfect Kids." Then he got married to a woman named Martha. Martha and Charlie had a child. And he changed the name of his lecture to 10 Hints for Parents. And then they had the second child, and he changed the name of his lecture again to "A Few Tentative Suggestions for Fellow Strugglers." And then he had a third child, and he quit preaching that lecture altogether. Maturity is when you figure out you don't have it all figured out. Maturity is when you realize you can't manage all that life is going to send you, but God can, and that's the good news. I can't control everything in my life, but God can. So I need to hook up with him and let him be in control and ask him for help. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Notice this now. "That power is like the working of the mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead." The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that can help you rise above your problems. The same power that God used at the resurrection 2,000 years ago can be used in your life today. You don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to happen next year or next month or next week or even tomorrow. Neither do you. But we can turn to God because God's in control and God can help us no matter what happens. So why does the resurrection matter? Well, because my past can be forgiven, my present can be managed, and because my future can be secure. Of course, a universal problem for all of us is death. Everybody dies. I'm going to die, you're going to die. And only a fool would go through life unprepared for something that he knows or she knows is inevitable. That just doesn't make any sense. Sometimes we get so busy doing things down here that we don't stop to think about what's going to happen and prepare for that which is going to come. People don't like to talk about death, you know that. Just invite some friends over for some donuts and coffee and say, hey, I have a topic, let's talk about death. And see them get up and leave. Teacher asked the children to write what they thought about death. Gilda, the age 8, said, when you die, they put you in a box and bury you in the ground because you don't look so good. Yeah. Stephanie, age 9, said, doctors help you so you won't die until you pay their bill. Marcia, age 9, said, when you die, you don't have to do homework in heaven unless your teacher is there too. And Raymond, age 10, said, a good doctor can help you so you won't die. A bad doctor sends you to heaven. Well, what happens when we die? If we are Christians, Jesus answers that for us. I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. This life isn't the end. It's only the beginning. It's the first inch of the yardstick. It is the preschool to eternity. Jesus rose from the dead so I can have victory over death and so you can have victory over death. So because Jesus rose from the dead, my past can be forgiven. I don't have to go around with that guilt. Because he rose from the dead, my present problems can be managed. I have the help I need to overcome my sins, my problems. I'm not helpless. I'm not hopeless. And my future can be secure. I know that when this life is over, I'm just beginning a new life in eternity with God in heaven. The late Larry King wrote about going to spring training, the Los Angeles Dodgers camp. Tommy Lasorda was the coach at that time, so this was back in the 80s. He said before the game, Tommy took him around, introduced him to the different players, and Eddie Murray was on first base. Tommy walked up to him and said, how you doing, Eddie? And he said, okay. And Larry King wrote that Tommy Lasorda went wild. He said, okay, you're making $2 million a year. You're standing out in a major league stadium in March and there's sun in the sky. You're 33 years old and you're gonna be in the Hall of Fame one day. You're standing here wearing a major league uniform and I ask you how you are and you say okay. Don't say okay. When I ask you how you are, you say, I feel great. And King said that Eddie Murray kind of looked at him like he was nuts. But Tommy Lasorda said to him again, how do you feel? And Eddie Murray said, I feel great. And he said, no, you don't. How do you feel? And he said, I feel great. Listen, if you're a Christian, you're not living in a world where you just exist for a short time and then it's all over. That's the end. You're living in a world that when you die, you go to spend eternity with God in heaven. So how does that make you feel? Okay? Okay, no. Say it with me. I feel great. That's what the resurrection does for you in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning as a Christian, that's wonderful. Because of the resurrection, you know that heaven one day is yours. If you're not a Christian today, then you need to make that decision. Death is coming. Death is inevitable. Are you prepared for that day? Do you want to spend eternity with God in heaven? The Bible says it's so simple. Christ came And he died that we can have eternal life. He shed his blood so our sins can be forgiven. The Bible says to become a Christian, we have to have faith. We need to change the way we live. We need to repent and live as God has called us to live. We need to be baptized into Christ. We need to be born again. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. We haven't been doing this for almost the last year or so because of COVID-19, but things are getting... So we're going to ask you to stand, if you would now. And we're going to sing the first verse of Have Thine Own Way. And if there's somebody here who needs to make that decision to become a Christian, no better day today than Easter Sunday. Walk on down the aisle. We'll take your confession of faith. We have the baptistry ready, and we'll baptize you into Christ this morning.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.